This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, November 17th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. I think it was yesterday. Yesterday, a number of people thought the entire fish fry would have caught ablaze. I think it's six different restaurants that caught fire, completely ravished by fire, right? The entire episode is under investigation in terms of how did the fire got caught started, right? The Prime Minister was there on site. He and a number of officials were giving commentary. I have a recording of the Prime Minister that I'll play shortly. Let's rewind it right now so people could listen to what the Prime Minister has to offer. Right? He mentioned that the fish fry is a cultural beacon for the Bahamas. It's there for a reason. Today, I brought in a specialist, a security specialist, who gives advice on how to secure properties. We have Donovan Paul in studio. I'm going to ask him the tough question. What could we have done to prevent this? I'm going to repeat what the question is again. What could we have done to prevent this? That's one of the questions. And what should we be doing as the way forward? What we could have done to prevent it? Because this is a tragedy. Six restaurants one time. And we got to understand that tourists venture this place. So when you see a gutted area, it impacts tourism. It impacts the psyche of the people who traverse the area. So I'm assuming that because it's a tourist place, that government will move quickly to clear the spot, to secure the spot that it doesn't look ravish for the sake of tourism, right? Because the look is very important, right? But the question is, again, today is what could we have done? The Prime Minister gave a statement to reporters who were at the site yesterday. It starts with the moment I touch it, right? I want to play that so the listening audience can appreciate what the Prime Minister has to say, so we can have commentary based on what the Prime Minister had to say, right? So we'll play that right now, then we'll start engaging Mr. Paul and his expertise in terms of fire prevention, in terms of fire squashing, that's my word, right? In terms of maintenance, things that fish fry need to do immediately, not later on, what they need to do immediately. But let me turn on this recording and let you listen to the Prime Minister. So let me hold on for that.
That strikes at the heart of what I call our economy. This our key has become
something went wrong there. Let me catch up on that. Switch phones, one of them. 1 minute for me. This is why you need to have two phones all the time. And so went up.
This is another tragedy that strikes at the heart of what I call our economy. This our key has become a tourist attraction, serving Bahamian food. Our culture is displayed here very often, and so it is important for us to come out of this as quickly as possible. I will be meeting with the owners affected by the fire sometime early tomorrow morning. We'll try to start cleaning up right away. We'll bring some assistance to ensure that normalcy is returned to this side. This gives us the opportunity for quite some time. We're thinking about how we could redevelop Iowa Key to ensure proper sanitation, minimize fire hazards. This is another tragedy that strikes at the heart of what I call our economy. The Bahamian food, our culture is displayed here very often. And so it is important for us to come out of this as quickly as possible. I will be meeting with the owners affected by the fire sometime early tomorrow morning. We'll try to start cleaning up right away. We'll bring some assistance to ensure that normalcy is returned to this side. This gives us the opportunity.
Okay, that's it repeating itself. The Prime Minister there saying that they're going to try to create normalcy as quick as possible. The Prime Minister also saying that the Abaki area has become a tourist attraction, which it is. I think it started to be that, or it started for Bahamians to go to the fish fry. It sounds like he is volunteering the services of the government in terms of moving quickly, right? He mentioned that in terms of making sure that the normalcy comes quickly. And he's going to be meeting with the owners of these six restaurants. I'm assuming eventually he's going to be meeting with the Awaki Vendors Association also. He mentioned that the government has a vision of the fish fry, right? And that this gives them this tragedy. I'm not sure what this means. This tragedy gives them, the government, the opportunity to develop the area based on what they foresee or liking the fish fry to be. So that should be an interesting conversation. But now let me speak to my guest today, I'm going to have him introduce himself formally so you can understand why I brought him on. Because we're talking fire, right? And fire prevention, we're talking ideas on what should be happening at the fish fry. So, but I want you to appreciate who he is. So I'm going to allow Mr. Donovan. Why your last name gone? Paul. Donovan Paul. introduce himself formally. Go ahead.
Good day, good day. Thanks for having me, Mr. Nuri. My name is Donovan Paul of Litz Group. We are a security and integration company. We service critical infrastructures in gated communities. And yesterday was a tragedy, but it's an opportunity more for us to understand the root cause of, you know, what happened. You know, we have an issue in reference to making exceptions to building codes, and I think that was a major misstep as relates to those businesses, as well as I think the challenge there is it needs more structure. I noticed when I watched the news yesterday, they mentioned that none of the businesses could be insured because of the construction being made out of wood, and it's also its proximity to each, the problem too was how it spread from one business to the other.
So let me stop you there because I want to be clear to everyone listening, right? The fish fry is mostly wooden.
Correct.
Did that contribute to the fire?
Indeed.
The fish fry buildings are close to each other. Did that contribute to the fire? We don't know how the fire started, but we're talking about the spread. To have six restaurants to burn down completely, flattened, completely gone, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to understand what caused that and what can we do now to prevent that from happening. And again, in one post I saw on social media, it mentioned that the fish fry is, they already likened the fish fry to a shanty town. And I said, no, man, those are nice buildings still. These are two-story wooden structures. It can't be likened to a shanty town. And I want you to give commentary on that, right? Why are people are comparing the fish fry to something called a shanty town, especially when in particular to fires, and say, well, the same issues that would happen in a shanty town with a fire, the same issues are going to happen to the fish fry.
Indeed, because, and like you said, it's made up of wood and it's very combustible. And in the event you're cooking and you're trying to prepare food, you're going to have accidents. So it needs to be in a more conducive environment in reference to being concrete or some flame retardant solution that is built for that type of environment. And at this present time, it isn't.
The fish fry is built out of wood for a reason. We wanted traditional housing, Bahamian housing, mm-hmm. the look, that Harbor Island look, that Abaco look, that he looked for. Look, it's wooden for a reason, mm-hmm. because we didn't want an American-looking building. We wanted to have a Bohemian, authentic Bohemian look, and that's what he built. And now you're suggesting, or at least I think you're suggesting, that that look can cause problems and fires, because I want to know, was the fish fry built to standard?
And indeed not, no.
Do you mean the fish fry was, and the government watch it? We watch it built. We all watch it built. This land was given to the fish fry people, and we watch it built, and they apply, and that's how it got built.
I understand, but when you take in consideration, what is priority? Is it a look or is it safety? You see, when you take that in consideration, nothing should trump safety. And so first and foremost, I don't know how they were able to, you know, bypass the building codes or, you know, get exceptions for.
So you're saying some of the building codes was ignored?
I mean, it's completely made out of wood. So obviously, it's not based on standard. You know, shanty towns, homes, etc., they're made out of wood, and that's not made up to standard. So we can't make exceptions for one set and make another exceptions for the other. That's a problem right there. So you have to be straight across the board. If it is not permitted for one party, it should not be permitted for the other.
So the conclusion, the fish fry is a problem.
Indeed.
And it's a problem that the government needs to address sooner than later.
Correct.
This one fire with six restaurants getting burned down, maybe just a start, because it could happen anytime, anywhere at the fish fry, resulting in the same results.
Exactly.
Now I need to find out. Now we know that we have a shanty town, in quotes, right, at the fish fry. And every day we see expanding. These smaller makeshift buildings are popping up at the Awaki area. I want to know, is there any mitigating things that we can do to, if there's a fire again, mm-hmm. that can be implemented to save these buildings? Or we need to just bulldoze everything and start from scratch? What do you recommend? Do you recommend we bulldoze everything and start from scratch? Or do you recommend that there are some mitigating things that we can do?
I think that we should not be too hasty in reference to just trying to provide a stopgap. We need to strategically and holistically address the situation. We need to look at, for example, what I did yesterday when I saw the fire. I had to revise my intended plan. For 2026, we're planning to implement air sensing as a service that actually detects fires, so that you would then be able to reach out to the various entities and inform them in advance. So it's a more proactive response when you have fires. And so what I did is I factored in the Awaki, as well as the Portiski Dock, as well as Shanty Town locations, mm-hmm. so that we could provide EPA air sensing as a service, and that will allow for detection. Now, the goal with that is we've partnered with a drone company that CFly, and they provide automated response. So once a fire is detected, now you have a drone that automatically flies to that location. And by you flying to that location, you would be able to observe the fire from its infancy, and you'll be able to record and provide the fire department with a video of the entire incident. So we're basically using drones as first responders, because mm-hmm. they can get to a site quicker than the fire response team.
I have a critique here via text, right? Mm-hmm. But before I read a critique, the Atlantises have what they call a Marina Village.
Yes.
That was constructed or developed, the architectural design was developed by a Bohemian. Mm-hmm. What his name is. The name soon comes to me. John Kluman, right?
Jackson Burnside.
Burnside. He created and designed that. Mm-hmm. The fish fry came before that, and we modeled the concept of having this wooden structure, because you notice that all of the buildings at Atlantis's concept has a wooden theme. Mine is not wooden, like you said.
It's not.
Yeah. But you see, like, how the panels, the hardy board or whatever it is, have that theme of island life, mm-hmm. right? And that theme of island life was captured by what was intended of the fish fry. Maybe we didn't do it properly. Mm-hmm. And we can find and investigate why we didn't do it like how the Atlantis property did their beautiful structure with things that look like wood, right? But I can read this text right now, right? Mm-hmm. So really, Cecil, you really believe someone sat down 30 years ago and said, let's build a wood because we want a look? Seriously? They use wood because it was cheap, plain and simple. Go look at the buildings and examine the piece added on there and the piece added on there. Please do not give the world the impression that Bohemian minds planned this. It's a shanty, uncoordinated, uncontrolled, irregular, unsanitized construction. And mind you, I remember the fish fry started out as shacks, a collection of shacks, one-story shacks. Mm-hmm. But if you go out to the fish fry on that northern side, can I call those mansions?
Indeed.
Some of those buildings are beautiful, mm-hmm. right? Some of those buildings are state-of-the-art in terms of might be piece added on. Mm-hmm. But clearly there's some concept of idea. Say, I want it to look like this. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have this experience. So when I say this was planned, those buildings on the northern side clearly was planned, right? They're beautiful. But beautiful and being safe is two different things, correct. Especially how they attach to each other. Mm-hmm. If one of those buildings catch fire, all of the buildings are at risk. And well, more like catch fire unless there are some kind of suppressant. Mm-hmm. What kind of suppressant, fire suppressants, can they be used now in those current structures?
The challenge in reference to, for example, fire extinguishers, in the event that there's a fire and no one is on site, the fire extinguisher will simply explode. It won't help in reference to extinguishing a fire. There are now solutions that, for example, you have fire grenades that if you're not on premise and there is a fire, it will discharge itself. So that's the difference between what is traditionally being used and what is now being used. Another thing is you have a problem with, like, I recently just came back from an anniversary. And, for example, I went to Family Island. And I went to a nice resort. However, when I went into the villas, I noticed that all of the fire extinguishers were never serviced. Mm. So the reality is businesses will get a fire extinguisher so they could get occupancy. But after they get occupancy, they do not service those fire extinguishers. So compliance is nice. However, without enforcement, and the challenge of enforcing that on so many different islands is a challenge. So that's why we promote non-serviceable fire extinguishers, because you have a 5-year lifespan for those products, mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about servicing them. And especially on the Family Island, it's cost prohibited, you know, for someone to come down biannually to service those traditional fire extinguishers.
So you mentioned a fire bomb, was that, or grenade?
Fire grenade.
Yes. And then you mentioned a non-serviceable fire extinguishers.
Yes.
So that's two things you recommend to the fish fry people now.
Yes.
Go and invest in that now, because, like I say, anything can happen in between now and tomorrow, whatever it is.
Correct.
Let me read this text and I go to the phone lines. It says, good morning, CA. The use of wood in construction of the fish fry buildings had nothing to do with having a Bohemian style appearance. Remember now, all of those large restaurants like Goldie's, Twin Brothers, Curly's, Bruno's, etc., began as small wooden structures. And over time, the owners added to them piecemeal. No architectural drawings, just stick and juke. Add a piece here and there, all pieced there together. But my point is the buildings there now.
Correct.
Some of the buildings are aesthetically pleasing. You go out, look at it and say, man, that's pretty. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. right? Even if it's piece on, the specials that sell on the northern side are nice to look at, but we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find solutions on how do we solve that problem, or well, we bulldoze the whole thing. Bulldoze the whole thing and start over. And you have some opinions on that because you got some designs mm-hmm. That you recommend because of your business. Mm-hmm. But let's go to this caller first of all. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Brother Nuri.
Good morning.
Morning to you and your guests. Let me ask your guests something. Can seawater hold fire?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I'm answering, but I only know that because the firefighters talk about seawater before.
Why ask that question? Those stalls, I call them stalls or shacks or whatever they call them, out by the fish fry, all of them on the western end, at least 50% of them is over the water. Why you can't get a pump and throw a hose into the water, pump the water so it can get pressure, and just, you shouldn't even have to call a fire truck for that.
True, but
let
me answer that. Seawater can put out a fire, but it also can start a fire based on with the technology that is currently available. We have something, a lot of persons are adapting to using lithium-ion batteries, and if seawater were to be exposed or to that type of technology can actually start a fire as well. So you have to take that in consideration.
Okay, so what's the name of that thing you say? What's
lithium,
the name of the battery?
Lithium ion batteries. The same
so
type of battery.
So any of those stalls out to the fish fry using that?
No, lithium ion batteries are in your phones, and lithium ion batteries in your drills, and lithium ion batteries are inside your tools. So some stalls use it as a generator. So
okay, see, now I didn't know that.
See?
What I'm saying, I thought those stalls are generated by BPM.
Well, I know for a fact you have some persons who have solar panels on their stalls,
okay.
And they have portable generators that they use to actually provide the power. So, like I said, so salt water can work. However, if they have certain type of technology inside that environment, it can also be a problem as well.
All right. So it's a dime if you do and dime if you don't.
Exactly.
Because it kind of triggered me to now I can get a more clearer thing on it now that you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was trying to figure why they just didn't get some pump. I just pump the water and.
Yeah. And then when you have electrical fire and you add in salt water, it starts to arc and it can actually cause the fire to be greater than it is as well. So you have, that's also a challenge in itself.
Okay, so we learn every day.
Yes.
But I'll sit down and continue listening to you. Yeah. You sound like you're onto something. You sound like you know what you're saying.
Yes, thank
you. Continue listening.
All right, thank you.
I just want to mention that the big fire they had on Bay Street, the fire department had electrical pumps where they pump in the water, where they pumped water out of the sea to out the building across the road from the Bay Street area. So we do have that. And I'm not sure if it was implemented at this particular fish fry fire, but we have that technology that does that. And I assume the fire chief who's on site decides whether that's going to be used, right? And then we know salt water rusts particular we call it metal. So all of that have to be considered, like which fire truck to use and which one not to use, right? And reference that. I see you, callers. Let me read this text. Because when we come after the break, we'll continue with you. It say, if you want to see living proof that there is no order on our key, which we accept, we say it's a shanty right town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at what is creeping up on the parking pavement on the south side. Retail bars, tuck shops. And look at the madness brewing on the eastern side. They soon spill over onto the beach. And this is some things that the Fish Fry Association, which the government has to basically address. And hopefully this is what the Prime Minister was saying, that we have some ideas for the fish fry. We have some corrections for the fish fry. But we're talking fire today, right? The current buildings, nice buildings, especially on that northern side. How do we protect them? Because what's happening there?
Get some fire-resistant materials.
Yes, we can talk about fire-resistant materials, but wood definitely can catch fire, right?
Indeed.
So we're going to take a quick break. Guardian Radio AM, CA Nerdy, we'll be right back.
Right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Man, I can't wait to eat. I am starving.
You know our sport never disappoints.
Boy, I left my wallet in the room. No way I'm going back.
Relax, buddy. You've got your phone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Perfect. Just pay with Sand Dollars from your digital wallet.
Good thing Sand Dollar transactions are seamless, safe, and convenient.
Yep, Sand Dollar saved the day.
Experience the convenience of Sand Dollar, the digital currency of the Bahamas. Whether you're dining out or anywhere else, Sand Dollar ensures seamless transactions. Join the future of payments with Sand Dollar.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. We have Donovan Paul, who is an expert in terms of security, right? And he's given us some advice on what the fish fry area should be doing. He has some ideas. He's saying fish fry is just like a shanty town. Right, and there need to be some corrective measures. The government has already planned that since there was a fire, that they have some proposed ideas on improving the fish fry area, and they're hoping that they could take advantage of that, particularly after they meet with the previous owners of the six buildings that were caught fire. I see we have a number of callers online. I'm going to read this text and go to the caller. It says, good day. There are fire retardant paints now, so maybe it needs to be a part of the building code for wooden structures. Give me some feedback on that, Paul.
A lot of innovation. What I advise persons, there are a lot of solutions out there, but you would want to examine that type of innovation locally, and that's what we've done as it relates to our fire blankets, our fire suppression, our fire grenades, and you want to vet the technology. To me, you don't have, a lot of persons don't understand the Bahamas. And once you understand the Bahamas, then you could better, I would say, the procurement aspect would be better suited for you. That's what I would say in reference to that. You need to understand our challenges in reference to electrical surges, our roads, our heating, all of that you have to take in consideration when you're looking at solutions. And so, yeah, there might be, paints out there, but I only could talk for what I know, and what I know is fire blankets, fire grenades. We also have fire suppression systems for around the hood of kitchen, the kitchen hoods, which is ideal. So in the event, and I also have that in my home, if the fire gets too high, it'll automatically disperse and put out the fire.
So stick a pin, right? Mm-hmm. What is a fire blanket? I'd like to know what that is.
A fire blanket we offer, it neutralizes a fire. So what it does, it's a blanket that goes over. For example, you would use that. That would be the best case scenario when it comes to cooking oil fires. See, cooking oil fires, once you cover it up, we neutralize that fire. We separate the oxygen, the hydrogen, etc., to not suffocate it, but to neutralize it. Now, if you were to use a fire extinguisher or a fire grenade, the pressure could actually cause that cooking oil to spread. So wow. That's why the fire blanket is ideal for that type of fire.
Because if wow. we have a caller now, we go to that caller. The initial picture showed a Bahamian with a fire extinguisher attempting to out the fire. I mean, he was outside. I'm not sure how he was trying to out the fire outside. But I'm assuming that he was inside before and he came out. You see him, he's still spraying the fire extinguisher. Only him one, mm-hmm. right? And of course, we know that it became a big blaze mm-hmm. afterwards. Right, I'm not sure if there may need to be a national campaign on how to use a fire hydrant, right? Because he's just spraying the fire. He wasn't going to the base and going to sweep in technique, which you should know what they normally train. Also, I noticed that at Fish Fry, they don't have any fire doors. I'm not sure, you know that the doors which you close?
Correct.
Right? I didn't see any fire doors. I'm not sure if any of the Fish Fry restaurants have the fire sprinklers, which could have helped. I assume these things could mitigate fire. The fire already start, and hopefully the fire extinguisher start. Hopefully you could close the fire door and say, okay, the fire could stay there, right? But let me go to the caller right now. Go ahead, caller. Guy in Radio AM.
Hi, good day.
You're live.
Mr. Murray, I just wanted everybody to, you know, it's sorrowful that we had a big fire on Ahwaki, but we have to get to the source of the problem. We have to remember that Ahwaki, that stalls out there, they were never issued to be there permanently. They were always temporary locations.
They're temporary stalls up to
30 years. So if they're temporary, they could have never been built in concrete. Like, you can't build a temporary structure in concrete. This is why the people can't get insurance for their places, because they always would. But now it become, okay, let's put the blame on these people. The blame has to go somewhere with a little bit more liability.
Hmm.
That's the government. For all these years, they've been allowing this to just redo, temporary, until it's built up to this. And now it's a disaster. But we saying it's a shanty town, but if the people can't build their stuff to a standard that's gonna not be able to catch fire as easily, but the government isn't allowing them. So that's what we have to do. You have to get somebody out there from the Ahwaki Stall Owners Association. Let them give you a history about Ahwaki before the whole public jumps out on those people. Please, thanks. That's my piece.
Okay. Thank you very much, caller. The caller reminded us, and we all, most Bahamians are aware, that if not all the stalls, almost all the stalls, if not all, do not have insurance. They can't get insurance because of how the building is built. But yet we have tourist Bahamians going inside these uninsurable buildings. I'm not sure if they have insurance for how people like me sit down and eat. If anything happens, then I get some kind of compensation, right? We were talking about what should be done next. But when you hear the narrative that these were temporary buildings and they built in that temporary code not to be permanent, they're not having no cement anywhere. And we were mentioning or we giving solutions of whether we could put some kind of measures in place to secure the buildings, or should we bulldoze all? This seems to me, the CA Marina, so you don't blame Paul. Don't blame Donovan Paul. I think the solution now is to bulldoze all. Every single Fish Fry building there. Start over with government help, Ministry of Works help. Where you, like, similar to how our comes have four different designs, five, six different designs, with a PPP, a public-private partnership, where these vendors will now be renting from the government, right? But you have a structure where you don't have to spend money. They don't have to spend the money because it's a private structure, and they can build modernized buildings And you could rent it based on what size you want, a two-story or one-story or whatever it is, with all the fire suppressants and all these things that you were recommending, Mr. Paul. But it seems as if we have to bulldoze the entire thing and start over.
I mean, you know, like I said, yesterday's event is an opportunity. So that means at this present time, we could do a startup with the cleanup efforts. That means that's vacant land that we could start just in that area. So sometimes persons want to look at the entire, redoing the entire thing. But I think at this present time, because of those six stalls were damaged and, you know, you want to get it, persons mobilized and back to work, that should be the focus. And then at the same time, that could be the staple of this is where we're going and this is where we're going to take the rest of you guys. So just, you know.
Change starts here.
Yeah, got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
So this is where we're going. And hopefully the government takes take advantage of the opportunity, right? And builds structures to code. I mean, now everything is to code now, right? It's a buzzword for today's conversation. And have create a structure that the vendors who are there to say, okay, I want one just like that.
Correct. But at the same time, I think what we've done is we've always just built to code. When you want something to last, you need to build beyond code. And so that's the reality. You want this to be a long-term investment, a life, a look that you know, we could see generations down the line.
But can look not be American? I don't want the fish fry to look like an American resort.
True. I agree. And so the thing is, you want it to be native. You want it to be native, but at the same time, what you have to focus on, safety has to be priority no matter what. So it doesn't have to look American. It could look Bahamian, you know, and we could, like I said, we have our colors, we have our outlook, what we ultimately want, but we cannot compromise safety in the interest of just looks. Yeah.
Let's go to the callers now. Guide in Radio A, I'm the C.A. Nuri. Go ahead, sir, ma'am, person. Can you hear me? Let's press this button. Go ahead, caller. Does it work? No? Press that button, then press that button. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you're live.
Yeah, morning, Mr. Nguyen. Morning to your guests. Yeah, I just wanted to highlight something you said, but changing the face of the fry, but when you said demolish everything, right? Yeah, but I mean, that's not a bad idea in total, but what about incrementally doing it? You know what I mean? Not just... You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's a business type experience for the tourists, et cetera, yeah. So incrementalism be a better way. But I just wanted to touch on the gentleman who enlightened us about the temporary status of the buildings, right, and the requirements, right? But overall, it still requires a certain amount of adherence for occupancy as relates to electrical. I did electrical, which I mean it is... Somebody needs to come and clear it up totally, but it in order for you to occupy a building and do that, it still has to be a certain amount of compliance. And so also, with relate to the gentleman, he said the structures are combustible, but they also contain inflammable substances, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's the cause for concern also. You know, it's basically the difference is the degree of which they catch a fire, but it's all still a hazard. And so safety first. On any site, you saw a guy just fall off the roof the other day somewhere building a house, right?
Yep.
He wasn't thinking about the safety. I worked in engineering for a while, and safety is very paramount. You know, I'm telling you because, you know, give thanks. Yeah.
Thanks very much. Let me read this text first before I address you again, Mr. Paul. So where are the relevant government agencies when it comes to required annual and biannual inspections? This should form a core part of safety inspection and regulatory process. Why isn't it mandatory for restaurants, especially their kitchens, to be equipped with fire suppression systems? Something is wrong, Paul.
Correct.
Very.
But the good thing about this is you have now, we've recently been contacted by a few insurance companies. What they're doing is they're incentivizing their customers to go the extra mile. Rather than, yes, fire blankets are beyond code, but they see it necessary. And so I have some insurance companies, they would actually provide a lower premium if you go beyond the code. So you have the fire grenades that, you know, you could have a 5-year warranty that you don't need to service. So those insurance companies don't need to send someone to service a traditional fire extinguisher because now they have fire grenades. You know, we have some clients that, for example, who have kitchens, they want us to install fire suppression above the kitchen hoods so that, and then insurance companies then incentivize those clients to give them a lower premium because they've made that necessary investment. So the government, when it comes to compliance, we need to turn compliance into culture. Hmm. And by us doing that through partnering with the Bahamas Insurance Associations and brokerage, et cetera, and having them incentivize the public, the goal is to, the enforcement will be less enforcement for government. So that's a challenge. Yes, persons have fire extinguishers, but if they're not aware that there are non-serviceable fire extinguishers, the best place to advertise or to inform the public is through the insurance companies, not through government.
So we may have to move away from government and depending on government being the first responder in terms of enforcing the rules with fire and inspection.
It's basically we being more innovative in reference to enforcement. And so being more holistic by incorporating the insurance companies.
Does your company inspect buildings in terms of what they can do? I want to know if someone exists, an entity that could go to the fish fry and say, man, these are the things you'll need to implement today. Mm-hmm.
There's a risk management company that we're affiliated with. We would send them in and they would do a risk analysis of what they would recommend, etc.
And then you come in with the product.
And then we come in with the product.
Let's go to the callers right now. Go ahead, caller. Garden Radio AM.
Hey, C.A. Neary. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
And to your guests in studio. As 52 would have said, and I'm pretty sure a few other persons before, he would have also mentioned, you know, safety is always the paramount point in any operation that goes forward, especially when you're talking about kitchens or anywhere that prepare foods, dealing with oils and stuff. You know, I thank God for the 34 years I've spent in the hospitality industry, going through 5 hotel brands. And I must give kudos to the hotels in particular that I've worked for, that they were very instrumental in ensuring that their personnel, not just engineers, because we are primarily with the fire training, but also persons in kitchen, persons in banquets, you know, they were able to get the fire training from the fire branch and to learn to tackle different types of fires as they occur. I said all of that to say this. You know, our key is a classic example, just as we saw recently with Porter's Key, where stalls went up in fire. My question would then be, is there a fire training program for Awaki, where all persons with these stalls participate in firefighting measures, whether it's using fire extinguishers, or even if there's a fire hose close by, how to tackle a fire. But the grease fire or the oil fire in particular is one that should be specifically targeted because you got deep fat fryers, as it is speculated, that this fire started. How do you out it? Do you throw water on it, or do you use a halon suppressor? Is there halon suppressing devices installed in these various entities? That's another thing that we need to look at. So from what I've heard, and I've walked out there last night to see the extent, what I've heard is that many of these entities may not have the halon suppressors installed in their kitchens. And if that is so, then why? How can they pass an inspection if that has not been done? So I'm just leaving it at that. But the safety is the number one feature of any entity where the staff should be trained. In the event of an emergency, they're the staff, and they can be the finish until the proper authorities come, the fire department comes or whatever, to deal with the blaze and do the inspection afterwards. That's all I have to say on this. And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jeff. This text says, just like Ashanti, have you ever heard someone from Abaco speak about a few nice homes in Ashanti? It's not, if not now, when? I guess it's the texter is saying that even though there are nice shacks, correct, or nice restaurants at the fish fry, the whole thing is a shanty. And people don't talk about, oh, in my shanty there's a nice one, mm-hmm, right? It's just a shanty. Mm-hmm. And we perhaps need to acknowledge that the fish fry is a shanty, right? And then the government needs to meet with the entire Fish Fry Association, give them a comprehensive plan in terms of, we understand what you are. We know that you are important to the Bahamas. We don't want to close you down. But we need to improve what this is. And we know you might not... You think the fish fry people to make money? Can they afford to build a new building? Because they only pay like $90 and $100 per month to have a space.
I mean, honestly, I can't guess what they make. But I understand, regardless, we're dealing with safety. We're dealing with lives. And because... So we need in some kind of provisions... need to be put in place so that training, constant training, is streamlined in reference to fire drills, etc. And the best way to do it is from the association level as relates to the AWAKI, and make it uniform throughout. Now, I heard the gentleman talking about persons in reference using Halon. The issue as it relates to Halon is it is a hazmat product, meaning that it contains hazardous material. What we promote is non-toxic. We use potassium to put out fires. So it's a different approach. For example, a fire extinguisher causes asphyxiation, especially in confined environments. So it's trying to suffocate the oxygen of the fire, but at the same time, it's suffocating the oxygen within your lungs. And so, for example, I always give the analogy of an elderly person on a family island. That fire extinguisher, first and foremost, it's too heavy for them to manage with. Secondly, they need to service it, so they need to pay for someone to come to the family. Now, they're living off of retirement, and for them to pay for someone to come and service a fire extinguisher, I don't think that is practical. And then, like I said, because it's causing asphyxiation, because it's trying to suffocate the fire, their body is already compromised. So what we need to do is look for non-toxic solutions that you can inhale and that's what we promote. We promote non-toxic, residue-free solutions. See, a fire extinguisher, persons don't understand, a 5-pound fire extinguisher is equivalent to maybe 20 gallons of water, you know? And so the difference is water could damage electrical appliances. A fire extinguisher, if it's a clean agent, won't damage those appliances. And so... that you just need, the person need to have a better understanding what is out there and what is best suited for us in the Bahamas. And I think that dialogue and that training and what we do is we tie in with, we've recently started a fire committee with the Bahamas Bureau of Standards and Quality. And so that we could have this open dialogue in reference to standards. And what we tend to promote is specifications, not brands. So when you promote specifications, that exceeds, and you don't have to worry about, you know, brand names and things changing, etc. So that's the thing. We need to increase the specifications and address it from that aspect.
I tend to use colorful words. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a national emergency needed,
yes,
for fish fry. A national emergency needed for Port of Ski. Mm-hmm. We see Port of Ski, they developing again. They putting the same shanty patchwork there. We see what happens to fire. So there needs to be some sort of town hall meeting where government come with these officials and come with these vendors and say, hey, we want you to make money, you know. Mm-hmm. We're trying to empower. Our goal is not to shut you down. But what you're doing can't happen. Mm-hmm. The shanty town can't continue. But I'm still concerned because, like 52 was saying earlier, you can't just shut all down now. You got to do it piece by piece, mm-hmm. right? How do you start implementing these things, but at the same time, addressing the concerns that the open restaurant, we're out of time already. We have like 2 minutes left. I can leave the last conversation to you. First, I want to know how to contact you, one, and give some advice to the fish fry vendors in general.
All right. My company is Lits Group. That's www.litsgroup.com. And we're the authorized distributor for Mouse Safety. That's M-A-U-S, Mouse Safety Bahamas. .com. All right.
And any advice to the fish fry people?
I would say consult with the best. You look for the professionals, find the professionals, and you would want proper advice, and that'll help you going forward.
Yes.
Well, let me say something before we depart. I strongly think that the fish fry, before anybody decides to, you know, go vendoring and stuff like that, they should get the training for the fire, just in case, you know, safety's first. Mm-hmm. That's my belief.
Good. You know? Guy and Mary M, have a nice day.
You all too.